Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Tom Bloom, Director of Defense Finance and Accounting Service. And joining me is Wood Parker, one of my partners at PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Tom, technology is becoming increasingly important in all facets of society, including, of course, government agencies. Can you tell us what role technology has been playing at DFAS, especially related to your goal to becoming paperless in the future?
Well, technology really is our future. In order to stay relevant, in order to stay competitive, actually, if you remember our vision, every tenet of the vision really involves technology. To become world-class, we have to work with technology. In order to be the trusted, innovative financial advisor, have to do that through technology. The employer of choice. People want to work at companies that are state-of-the-art. And the last tenet is to be a competitive organization. In order to be competitive, we really have to embrace technology. And we're doing that pretty well. Right now we are, for instance, we have 32 new systems that we're in the process of installing, and that in itself is a daunting task. I don't know of any organization, whether it's General Motors or Mobile, Exxon, that has that kind of initiative to put in 32 new systems. So we're certainly on the cutting edge there.
Well, I noticed that in an effort to remain paperless, DFAS has engaged in e-commerce activities to include things like electronic document management, electronic funds transfer, and EDI, electronic data interchange. And I'm wondering, how is electronic commerce affecting DFAS in terms of being more efficient? What happens when a business rolls this out?
Well, paper is our enemy. And we're probably going to have banners all over the Defense Finance and Accounting Service that says just that paper is our enemy. We are developing as many electronic means and as many electronic interfaces as possible so that we end up with as little paper as possible. We have just recently rolled out employee member self-service, where you can change most of your human resource allotment changes, or change your address. You can change your exemptions on your tax form. We would like to someday our leave and earnings statements, essentially your pay stub. We would like to make that electronic, and then dealing with the vendors, there's a big push that we have to have them transfer their invoices to us electronically, and not to forget about the small mom and pop vendors, and that really is a lion's share of our vendors are the smaller businesses out there. We're making it easier for them. We're coming up with an electronic interface. We call it WINS, where a business can all they really need is a computer and internet access, which, by the way, you can get at your local library if you don't happen to have that, although most businesses do have that. But they can pull up a screen and essentially put their invoice information on this predetermined screen and then send that to us electronically so that we don't have to deal with paper. And there's not the opportunity to lose the paper or to make the mistakes. So we're embracing this e-commerce as much as we possibly can to eliminate that enemy, the paper.
How are the employees dealing with all this e-commerce stuff? Normally it brings about tremendous change. So if you can adopt to the change, that's the first step. But also, one can then figure out that it might involve fewer employees. So it's difficult to imagine the win-win in those two things to think about.
Well, it is a challenge. It's a little bit challenge we talked about earlier. Although DFAS employees, DFAS has been in existence since, as I mentioned, 1991, and it's just been a flurry of change since we first came about. If we had over 300 locations, and we've consolidated down to 26, so our people are pretty used to the change. They've also We've gone from 27,000 employees to we're in the 19,000-20,000 range. So our people have seen the diminishing of jobs. We have what we call the Responsible Employer Program because we believe we do owe folks some consideration, and we work hard to get our folks ready for in case their jobs do disappear. So there is a fair amount of trust there, but sure, they're seeing that the technology in many cases, particularly if you're if you're dealing with just paper today, you're at risk, and there that can be a morale problem.
We were talking earlier, Tom, about training and the importance of training to DFAS and your people and your commitment to training. Within the context of technology, talk about that training. How is that going to be changed, whether in terms of delivery systems or other means?
Well, first of all, we have on the IT side, we have about 1,300 IT professionals at DFAS, and many of those folks are working with old languages, old computer technology. And we're giving them the formal training to deal with, kind of the fourth generation relational database kinds of things. With our technicians, our accounting and finance technicians, since we are introducing a lot of new systems, they are working with state-of-the-art, dual screens and kind of multitasking kind of things, and we think that that's building competencies that they haven't had in the past. But that is a big challenge.
And how about some of the key issues looking out to the future for DFAS? Will there be a DFAS in 10 years?
Well, I believe that there'll be a DFAS. I think that we may look very different than we look today. There may be much more of an emphasis on the accounting side of what we do. Half of our business right now is accounting, and the other half is finance, the actual paying of folks. I think on the finance side, you will see technology making that easier and maybe turning that more and more into a utility. But on the accounting side, getting the information that we need to get to managers, to commanders out in the field, to manage troops better, to manage their individual businesses better. That's really where the future of DFAS lies, and I believe, and we've got a long way to go in that area. As I'm a user of DFAS, I eat my own dog food, so to speak, and we need to get me better information for me to manage my business. So I know that it's true, probably for most of the commanders out there. So I see the big future of DFAS in helping turn data into information, so that my commanders aren't drowning in data, but their thirst is being quenched by the information that we're providing.
As you look to the future, Tom, and these various challenges we've alluded to, what keeps you up at night? What are the ones that concern you the most, let's say, in the short term?
Well, certainly the thing that does keep me up, and it has kept me up, is the paying our military folks, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. We don't ever want to miss a payroll. Their families depend on that. They're assuming that DFAS is taking care of their families, and that is, that's a secure, probably a security item that for the nation's security, we have to make sure we're taking care of our number one customer, which is the warfighter.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you very much, Tom, for spending time with us tonight. Wood and I have enjoyed our conversation very much. This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. To learn more about the endowment's programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com.